Welcome to the Develop Yourself podcast, where we teach you everything you need to land your first job as a software developer by learning to develop yourself, your skills, your network, and more. I'm Brian, your host. Today on the Develop Yourself podcast, we have Ilya, a former software developer, current mentor, who has a very interesting offer: become a confident developer in 10 hours. Before we get into that offer, and you can kind of explain a little bit more about that, welcome to the show. And can you tell us a little bit about like what you're doing right now?
Sure. Thank you. Happy to be here. Right now, as in professionally, not right now, today, I assume.
Yeah, not like this second, but what are you doing professionally?
So I mentor developers. I have this program, like you said, Become a Confident Developer in 10 Hours. It's an absolute clickbait, because most developers feel that they have hard time leveling up their skills, and I should say their measuring stick is completely off. They hold themselves to unrealistic expectations. They don't know how to go about their learning in a way that actually helps them and supports the way things work for them naturally. And it all boils down to them to feeling like they don't know what they're doing. They're not confident enough. So through this clickbait, I gain access to them. And actually, in most cases, they realize that everything is good with them. Like, they don't even need to become more confident because they just need to learn better how their brain works, what their blind spots are, and yeah, just try a few more things and they feel way more confident.
It made me curious. I was like, what do you do in the 10 hours? Is there actually like a 10-hour thing that you do, or is that just...
Yeah, no, that's
just
true.
Just like in the title alone.
No, it is 10 hours, but these 10 hours are 10 sessions, 10-hour-long sessions that are spread across... they're weekly, and they're spread across approximately 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so it is 10 hours, indeed. But it's 10 hours with me. They have to do their homework. That's the part. Well, I mention it. I wouldn't say I don't mention it, but yeah, they have to do their homework.
I gotcha. I like your approach too. I follow you on LinkedIn. I think other people should too. You have a different approach. I tend to get overly technical and think about what are the new tools you should learn, the language framework. And you go in a bit of an opposite direction where you're saying you probably know enough stuff. You need to apply it. You need to work on your mindset. Can you speak a little bit about that? Like, what are the areas you see that most developers actually need to improve on or work on that are not technical?
Yeah, sure. So to explain this approach came from therapy, basically. And it's an approach saying that when you are aligned, when you're not being held back by fears, by negative emotions, you naturally know what to do. And it's in a way a philosophical approach, something Jordan Peterson also says. You always know what's the right thing for you to do. Now, there are a bunch of reasons that you don't do it, but you still know. And when you clear out the garbage, and you know what? No, I don't want to say garbage, because this is not garbage. Negative emotions are there for a reason. They shouldn't be treated as garbage. But when you clear out those things that block you, that don't allow you to do the things that you want to do, it's way easier for you to just do them. They come naturally. So some people think to get better at something, you really need to put on hard work, you need to struggle, you need to fight resistance. My approach and the approach I got from certain aspects of therapy is the opposite. I don't think you should fight and struggle. If you're fighting and struggling constantly, it means that something is out of alignment. And I think you should first find the alignment, find the stuff that is blocking you, and then things would go much smoother for you and you'll be able to solve questions. And I see it every day. I really see it every day with my students, that when we have a good session and something clicks in their head, they understand why they gave up on something they did, why they were struggling with something. When they understand what is happening, when they see their blind spots, they skyrocket. They suddenly come back and tell me, I've been coding for 10 hours straight, couldn't sleep all night, woke up the same morning and kept coding and built half my app.
That's a nice feeling. That's also like a really good point you make too, that you shouldn't have to struggle all the time, because eventually you'll just lose your momentum. I don't think anybody's meant to struggle like that in anything they do. You're right. Because if you do, first of all, you can't find joy in it and get an emotional attachment to something, which is one of the reasons I like doing side projects. They create some emotional attachment. It keeps me motivated to go. But if I found it to be really difficult or just like I was getting beat every day, I don't know why I would continue doing it. So it sounds like your approach is to probably find that emotional attachment. And is there an aspect of imposter syndrome too that you see in most of the people you work with? And how do you approach that?
Well, imposter syndrome is thinking you should be something that you are not. And we all think this every day in million different aspects of our life. We think this in the professional area. We think this in relationship area. A man thinks, oh, I should be a man, which is something that somebody else told me that a man is, or I should be a woman because my mom, my grandma, Instagram told me that this is how a woman is. So we all basically have imposter syndrome in everything that we, in all the places we're not being ourselves and trying to be something that somebody else told us we should be. The opposite of that is that if I know very well how my thought process works, if I know what makes me think or feel or express certain things, then nobody can influence it. Nobody can come and tell me this is wrong, but this is how I am. If this is wrong for you, then probably you're not a good fit for me, for something we're doing together. And of course, it's very easy to say. It's way, way harder to get there. I'm just kind of showing a very high overview, like a bird's eye view of this map. But it is very nuanced. It's a process that takes time in every aspect of life. And yeah, it's not something that will ever be perfect. There will always be other people that expect something from you. This is, again, comes down to expectations, is that there will always be people expecting something from you. There will always be places that you feel, I could be doing this, I should be doing this. Like, it's not a done deal. I used to think 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that you go through some process or you do therapy or you change something about yourself and that's it. And this question stops bothering you forever. And it's not like this. These things come back, but you just have much better tools to deal with them over time.
Oh, totally agree. I've been writing code for about 10 years now, and I got up to engineering manager most recently. And I've never stopped doubting myself, but I've just gotten better at taming that voice that's in my head. It's never completely gone away. I thought, okay, cool. Once I get to this level, it'll go away. And it just never went away. But I've just gotten a bit better, you know, through meditation or from writing, other ways that I can kind of prove to myself or make myself feel more confident that, okay, I know this is a phase or a stage, and it gets better, but it never quite goes away, which may be encouraging to some people or maybe scary to know that you're right. It's a constant process that you're always in.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what's the main issue with the way that you see people learning to code, and how are we going to make them into a hireable or successful software engineer?
Well, first of all, I really don't have one size fits them all. It's the absolute opposite of what I do. And this is why I think I also have hard time scaling, because it's really personalized. I really need to understand, to talk with a person to see what is happening. And even this process, for me, it's somewhat intuitive. So I'll give you an example. I have a student. He can code. He built a full-on app that soon can be a product that he can make money with. But every time we have a session, he really gets stuck on things that seem to me in the beginning super trivial, like syntax things that you would cover in the first week of bootcamp. And I asked him, like, what this should look like, how do you create an object with this and that? And he would completely blank on them. It took me a really long time to understand why this is happening. And it clicked to me that he has an absolute unconscious process regarding coding. He takes it in, It gets digested somewhere in the back of his mind, and it gets put outside without him noticing the whole process. So he knows how to do those things, but when I ask him to explain how he did it, he has no idea. He blanks on it because it's not his conscious part that digested all this knowledge, but the results are great. And I know he might have harder time finding job, especially passing technical interviews because of that. But this is the reality. So I'm trying to help each student in a way that would help them understand themselves.
And the way they learn?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I can definitely not do it in a way that fits everyone. Actually, I sometimes give the complete opposite advice to different people.
At Parsity, the boot camp I now own, I'm taking a lot more of that approach. Like, we do tend to have a one-size-fits-all model as far as, like, here's the skill acquisition you're going to need, like providing you with programming fundamentals. But then also, I just realized that you need a human in the loop that can help you along with those parts that just don't make sense. Because there's a few areas that I notice most students will always struggle with when we introduce anything with the back end, when we move from, HTML and CSS to JavaScript, when we move from JavaScript to React. And these just require different mental models. Like, I would sometimes say, this is my mental model, and here's how I understand it. And for some people, that's going to work well. For a lot of people, it's not. And I end up doing sessions with those people specifically or with a small group and kind of working through them individually. Because I just realized it's not really possible to scale this kind of practical knowledge just with like a simple tutorial or a video. Because you're right, everybody has a different model of how they learn. But knowing that, do you think there's an ideal way to learn coding? Is there any ideal way? Or have you seen anything that's like, here's a better way for most people to learn how to code?
I would say something that I recommend everyone is just do something. Because most of the blocks start when people don't even try to do something, and they plan and they get stuck in their head, or they think that this is not going to work as they want it to work, so they just give up. So maybe my one and only generic advice would be try to do something. And then try to notice what works for you in this process. For example, at some point, I noticed that videos really help me. When there is a person that explains some topic, it is way, way better for me than it is when I try to read, for example. So I see these people on LinkedIn that say, you have to read coding books. This is a real way to learn coding. This is how a real man learns to code, through books. And I'm like, oh, God, I would throw the book out the window if I were forced to learn coding from book. This sounds like absolute torture to me. But for some people, it can be great. And that's the thing. Yeah, I think that there has to be a person in between that is kind of between the technical and the personal. And I would even want at some point to have some kind of holistic tech school or holistic learning school that people really get a personalized attention to the way they learn. There will always be categories. There will always be ways to kind of group people together that have like some similar traits. So it's not like just one-on-one, but there needs to be much better understanding of the difference between people, because the difference can be absolutely huge. So I don't know if I wouldn't have noticed the learning way of the student that I told you about that has the unconscious learning. He might have gone through a lot of trouble thinking he's stupid and inadequate just because his brain works so differently. And he also, yeah. And he also does, like, he does struggle with this because it's also not clear to him why something that seems like it should work just doesn't work on him. And I really hope that this understanding will take off the pressure from him, and he says, well, this is how I'm learning, so don't expect anything else from me. And if he comes to a job environment that would demand something from him that he cannot give, he would have the confidence then to say, sorry, guys, this is not for me. I cannot give you what you need. And he will not try to make himself fit into an environment that just makes him
not himself every day?
That's a really interesting one. So let's say I'm a boot camp grad, I'm looking for my first job, and I get an offer for a place that I'm not feeling good about. I've met the people. They don't seem like they're the kind of people I want to work with, but I need that first job. Would your advice be, don't take that job?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Do not take the job. If you feel that it's not a good fit, if your gut especially is telling you that this is not a good fit, don't take it, because your first job is like your first relationship. It can be nice and sweet memory, or it can traumatize you for life.
You're right. You're totally right. I met a person, I've met a few people through LinkedIn and in real life that have taken on a role at a company where they had awful experience. And I spoke to one guy recently. I felt really bad for him. He'd worked so hard. He finally got this first job, got treated really poorly. And now he's thinking, is this even a profession I should be in? Because you're right. That's his first experience. And he's thinking, is every place just going to be some variation of this? And, you know, I felt really bad for him. I was lucky enough to have a very good experience. I had a very rough experience for the next time, but I knew what was possible. I'm like, you know, I know there's a good place out there, and I've been at other good places since then. But yeah, I like that. That's hard to tell somebody, right? It's really hard to tell somebody, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
That there's going to be more opportunities in the future for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No opportunity ever is best or last.
Now, everybody and their mom is talking about the developer job market and saying it's awful. It's just not good. And the reality is, like, it is what it is. You know, you can't change the reality of the job market. Is it bad? I don't really know. You know, I can only look at what statistics and anecdotal stories tell me. But how are you seeing students get hired? What are the people that are succeeding in this market doing right now to get hired that you've seen?
To be honest, I don't have a lot of insight on that, because I don't have that many students, usually because of the one-on-one or the small groups. So I can't say that I have a representative understanding of the market.
No, I appreciate that. And that's fair. It's hard, because what we end up doing is going on a site like LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever, pick some social media platform. And then we're listening to people with either wild success stories or the person that hasn't found a job in like 5 years and 1,000 applications or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to decouple the skills acquisition piece from the job piece, because I know they're completely different skills.
Yes.
You can be really talented and not find a job, and you can also be not so talented and find a job. I like to focus more on the skills part. And it sounds like you're focused more on the skills and the mindset part. But as far as tech skills, like, what are some of the tech skills that you notice people are generally lacking when they come to you? Like, is it building projects? Is it very specific knowledge of like JavaScript or programming fundamentals? Or is it completely mindset?
Yeah. So the main skill that people that come to me lack is solving problems. Because what happens when you go do a course or a bootcamp, even computer science degree, is that it gives you some knowledge, and then they give you, in most cases, some kind of pre-made exercise to build on that knowledge. And what they usually do is that when they teach you how they do things, they show, we need to display a list. So to display a list, we use an array, and then we do this with the array, and then we do that with the array, and then we add some CSS here. And this is the actual thinking process. What they are doing is like, it's like you would watch YouTube people. It's like you would watch YouTube videos of people going to the gym and hoping you would get fit.
I like that analogy. It's really good.
Because what all those tutorials, boot camps, even computer science, they show you how they solved the problem, which takes you out of this equation. You don't need to solve the problem on your own. They just show you one solution. But in most real life scenarios, you need something different. You need some kind of nuance to that solution. What usually happens is that people try to build something when they graduate, and they have no idea where to start, because they understand that the skill of taking something from an idea. So let's say I need to build, a bunch of boxes with forms and do this and do that. They're like, but I've never actually had to solve this problem before, right? I've never lifted the weight before. It was always lifted for me. How do I do this on my own? And this is the skill of taking an idea and learning to express it in code. That is the thinking process.
That is a very great way to sum it up, to take an idea and then translate it, like translating some complex logic into code. I love side projects for that very reason, which I talk about pretty often. I'm big into side projects. It's kind of how I've shaped my own career by learning things. And I've taken something I thought I understood and think, what can I build around this? You know, can I build something useful? And then you just explore your own curiosity, and it generally will take you somewhere interesting, like exploring, like, what could I make? What could happen? It's kind of how I taught myself JavaScript, honestly. I just thought, what happens if I click a box? You know, if I click a div and I want to make it blue, well, then what? And I would just explore that and kind of fill in the gaps to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're pretty big into side projects as well.
I actually don't differentiate. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a side project, it's a main project, it's coding project. Doesn't matter what its role is. But the curiosity is actually a huge thing. A lot of people, they block themselves from getting curious because they think, oh, I should find the one solution. I should not make mistakes. And they treat the whole coding process as if they are on a test at school rather than on the playground trying something new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's funny because it's a creative occupation. In some ways, it feels more similar to like writing as a profession than doing something like working in a factory or something where you're doing a repetitive task. And I think that's people's mental mismatch sometimes, is that they're thinking, I'm going to learn this set of rules and code and syntax, and then I'm just going to apply it on the job and that's it. And like, no, not quite. Because as you know, there's many ways to solve the same problem with code. And you have to be a creative problem solver, which is a very difficult thing to teach somebody, to teach them, how do you be curious?
Mm-hmm.
How do you explore these things? How do you come up with these creative problem solving? And you can, and in my opinion, you can't just do that on Leap Code. Like, Leap Code is probably a terrible way to to gain that skill.
No.
Good for interviews, but terrible for basically everything else.
Yeah, I agree. And this is why I think the approach, you cannot make someone curious. You cannot teach somebody to be curious. You can only remove the blocks, the fears that a person has that prevents them from being curious, because curious is our natural state, is what we do when we love and enjoy learning something. So when I recently dived into this human design thing, I was like, for 2 months, driven by curiosity. I think I consumed amount of knowledge of like an academic semester. It was a lot, and it was purely curiosity because there was no test. I didn't even think that this knowledge would be applicable to any professional scenario. Just pure curiosity. I found this system. It looked really cool. It explained a lot of things, answered a bunch of questions. I was just digging into it. Until I got everything I wanted out of it, pretty much.
I mean, you sound like a person, obviously, that's explored a few different paths in life in general. And you have a really interesting approach. I really like it because I think sometimes I tend to be a little too traditional in the way that I approach learning or coding in general. And I forget that everybody is different. I've learned that as a manager, trying to manage a team of people and realizing, hey, we all have different motivations and ways to learn. And definitely opening my eyes to the fact that I am not the prototypical developer. There is no prototype.
There isn't.
We're all much different.
Yeah.
No.
There really isn't.
There really
is not.
It's
a huge illusion fueled by Hollywood and Instagram and some stuff on LinkedIn.
Yeah. It's funny because 90-something% of people that are on LinkedIn will never post. Same thing with like Twitter. And so you read the post from the most vocal people and you start to think, oh, that's what tech is really like. So Ilya, I know you had a career as a software developer. Can you speak a little bit about what led you to software and then what led you to start your own business?
Yeah, sure. So my career as a software developer wasn't great. I didn't enjoy most of it. I got there because I gained some technical skills by doing side project, like small stuff. And I realized that, oh, this is something I could get a job with. And it was about 15 or more years ago when it was way easier to get a job as a front-end developer because nobody really knew JavaScript and the market was not what it is today. And being honest, I never found a, let's say, product market fit of myself in the startup industry. Because in a lot of ways, I am like that student of mine. My thinking process wasn't conscious. I didn't know how to verbalize the problems that I was having, how to even explain what is it that I don't understand. It's like I could intuitively do some things. I gained some knowledge. I could solve some problems. But I always felt like I am behind, like there everyone around me are better at this job than I am. I also don't have the eye for details, which is something that definitely wasn't in my favor. And I really felt like there was something wrong with me because I saw people around me doing things better, getting along at their job. And I got fired a bunch of times, which also did not help my confidence at all. And it took me many years to understand that this is not what I'm good at. This is not where my value lies. I would never try to apply now as a software developer in a company because this is just not what I'm good at. This is not what I enjoy. And also, having this skill of being able to kind of notice things about processes, about people, I would also like try to suggest, let's do things differently. Let's do things this way, that way. And most of my bosses would look at me like, you're here to code. We don't need your opinion on how to do that. So
terrible.
Yeah, this wasn't appreciated a lot in those environments. It took me quite a while to understand where can I find my fit. And it was for a very long time that I carried with me this insecurity and feeling that I'm somehow not fit for these kind of works or just not good at my job in general or other insecurities. And by getting to understand those myself is also what helps me to understand those things in others.
I appreciate, as usual, your transparency throughout this entire podcast here. That's not an easy thing for people to admit or talk about, the fact that you learned this skill, you did it, and you realized this might not be the best fit for me. Do you regret learning to code at all?
I definitely don't regret it. I like that I have this foundation. If I had learned something else, I would have probably been doing the exact type of job that I'm doing right now, only in an entirely different field. I would probably question all of the assumptions. I don't know, if I was working in design, I would have probably said that everything about design is wrong and needs to be personalized. Yeah.
No, that makes a lot of sense, actually, that you're right. I think you can apply many things outside of tech to other industries. I spoke with an ex-lawyer recently, and he was saying, you know, everybody thinks tech is so special or the skills you have are so special. So you can apply basically everything that you've learned in tech, the way of learning, the job interview processes, the market being difficult. You can apply that to sales, to marketing, to the law, to software. So yeah, I look at coding as a foundational skill. And it's cool because now you still have a business which revolves around that foundational skill. And now you get to help other people technically, right? As well as with their learning process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any last words of advice for our listeners?
I'm thinking about how to formulate it so it doesn't come off too generic or too corny. But
sure,
the better you know yourself, the easier things will be for you. And the more you question the assumptions that you think you have to do things this way or that way, or you have to be this way or that way, the more you start questioning those, again, the easier things will be for you. because most likely most of them are wrong.
I like that. I like everything you've said on this podcast. You have a very different perspective than I do, and I like hearing people with different perspectives. And I also agree with most of what you said this whole time.
Thank you.
Knowing yourself is really important. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. We tend to get too much dogmatic advice, me included, you know, do this, do that, X plus Y equals Z. And in life, it never works out like that. There is no one path to do anything. The scary thing is there's 100 paths to do the thing. And if you don't know which path is for you, you may go down many of them that aren't the right fit. So you're right. Knowing yourself is incredibly important. And we skip over that part before, like between wanting to learn to code, learning to code and getting a job is like, what about you? Like, what are the ways you work best? What are the ways you need to learn? And where are you going to thrive the most? Are you going to thrive in this kind of career doing this kind of thing? Where can people find you online?
Sure. So first of all, they can find me on LinkedIn, Ilya Dorman, or they can go to codeforhumans.dev.
I like the name of that company. Very cool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Your contact information is at the show notes. So hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
That'll do it for today's episode of the Develop Yourself podcast. To learn more about becoming a software engineer with us, then check out Parsity.io. If you're not quite ready for that, then jump into our Dev30.xyz program, which is 30 days of working on your mindset, habits, and JavaScript skills. Totally worth it. See you next week.